Hi, I'm Alice, compulsive eater.
Anorexic and bulimic.
All right. Tippy toes. It's funny, I always wore different shoes. It would have made me taller than this. So, I came into the program at a time when anorexia was considered an outside issue. I actually had people in meetings come up to me and say, "What are you doing here? You don't belong here." Because I wasn't large like they were. But I had tried everything else, and I had nowhere else to go. And so I fought for my recovery. And I just want to let you know that we are out there. You can find us. I know the pandemic was horrible, but I found more of my people over Zoom. In my area, we have one AB meeting, and a friend and I started it. Because we're just like, we need something. We need something that, you know, there's welcoming, there's understanding in all of the rooms, but there's a different level when there's an AB focus. There are things that you just don't have to explain. They're just, we know each other, right? So things have changed. I remember... It was not long ago we had one in Bend, and there were like four of us in here, and someone stood up and said, "Where are we? Why are there only four of us?" And you know, there are a lot more today, but still, why is there no just standing room in this room? We're out there. I didn't necessarily identify as AB when I first started because of the reaction I got. But I make a point of doing it now because I want you to know that I'm here. I'm here with you and I'm here for you. So my disease made me feel like I didn't deserve to be alive. I didn't deserve the space I took up in the world. But it came out of the house I was raised in. I had no say in anything I did. I was raised by a very domineering Hispanic father, and you did what you were told, and that is all you got to do. And so the anorexia was a way for me to take some kind of control over my life. You know, you could make me do things, but you couldn't make me eat. So it became kind of this battle. And that... We were talking about feelings, and like my plan of eating is very basic. When I'm hungry, I eat. There's no skipping meals. And this, you know, this is what works for me. I don't share my plan of eating because when I first came into the rooms, I took everybody's plan of eating. It's like, you do this, then that must work for me, and it didn't work, and it just made me feel worse. So that's why it is so important to get a sponsor who can help you figure out what your plan of eating needs to be, because it's not mine. What I've learned in these rooms is what saves me could kill you. And that is one of the beauties of the program, is that it fits for all of us. If we look for it, we'll find our recovery. I can make an inappropriate joke about that, but... Oh, move that instead. Okay. No. All right. Where was I? All right, so I was saying I had to fight for my recovery even inside the rooms. And I don't necessarily share as much about my anorexia because I found my bulimic fellows first. And I've heard people share about how they're multi-addicted and they've been in AA sober for like bazillion years and somehow they just can't put down the food. It's because that's, you know, whatever your core addiction is. And anorexia is my core addiction. I mean, when you think about it, we have this natural survival instinct that tells us we need to eat to survive, we need to rest to survive. And this disease overrides your basic instinct to survive, where you are starving yourself. And it really is this at times, thank you, it can feel like this overwhelming force that you just cannot overcome. And the truth is you can't overcome it by yourself. And it was mentioned before that my relationship with my higher power was key to me breaking through that death grip that my disease had on me, really. We were raised in a, you know, very strict religion, and there was no room for any other kind of belief at all. I'd been invited to visit my friends' churches, and I was not allowed. So there was no space for any of that. So when my sponsor said that you can, you know, just forget about everything you've ever felt about God and make up your own. What do you need? What do you need to feel safe in the world, to not be afraid? Because my disease is all about fear. And I said, you're not allowed to do that. You can't do that. And so she had me write about how my life would be different if I could do that. If I could, in fact, have the higher power that I needed, that I felt was strong enough to take my disease from me. And my life changed. It was like that psychic change where it just, every possibility was now open to me. And I was, like I said, when I walked in the rooms, I had that desperation. I had that, I'm out of answers. I choose to stay in this world. I need help. Because one of the first things I was asked was to stop participating in my disease. But I didn't know how to live without it. So you take away this one coping mechanism that has worked for me most of my life and tell me, how do I do that? How do I, you know, I don't know how to walk through my day without that feeling that, well, with, actually, the truth is I don't know how to walk through my day with my feelings, right? I had stuffed them down, starved them out, numbed them out. For so many years, it just felt completely overwhelming. So what I learned to do was, you know, cry, mostly. What I learned to do was allow the tears to come, right? And I allowed myself to swear. There was no swearing in my house. And to be clear, I had a lot of outside help, right? Your sponsor is not your therapist. I can relate to you. I can tell you when this was happening for me, this is what I did. So I've had a lot of outside help dealing with the, you know, the abuse in my house as a child and all that kind of stuff. But the answer was in these rooms. Thank you. Right? Working the steps with the sponsor, clearing out the wreckage of my past, realizing that most of the harm that was done, I did it to myself. I'm not responsible for any of the abuse or anything that happened in my childhood home. I'm responsible for taking that with me into my adult life and continuing to take it out on my body, to not, like, I was like cut off at the head, right? It was always this battle between me and my body. And now I don't do that anymore. I listen. It was very difficult in the beginning, because I didn't know how to connect my body again, right? I was a brutal over-exerciser. I hardly ate anything. The way I wasn't bulimic was I was anorexic. So they like went back and forth. The only time I was not anorexic was when I was bulimic. So I had no idea. And so this relationship with my higher power, I would just pause and ask for direction. What do I do now? What do I do next? And it wasn't always, even today, I have to throw my arms up and say, I don't know what you're doing, God. I hope you know, I don't know what's going on. I hope you know what you're doing. And I'm just going to trust that you got this, because I don't get it. Why is this happening to me? Why are we having to go through this? Why is my child sick? Why, you know, why did my husband get injured? That kind of thing. But I know in my core that my power has this. And it wasn't like I woke up one day and now I trust the world, because that didn't happen. I had to slowly give up little pieces of my life and give my higher power credit for the results, right? I do the footwork, the results are up to higher power. And as I gave credit, that wasn't me, that was you. Oh yeah, I get it now. I get it. You're going to lead me where I need to go. If I'm up against a wall over and over, oh, thanks. I'll just finish this one thought. If I'm up against a wall over and over, one day I wake up and go, okay, I get it. I'm not supposed to go this way. I'm supposed to go that way. And then suddenly, smooth sailing all the way, right? So my will still does get in the way, but if I pause and I listen, I get to where I'm supposed to be. Thanks for letting me share.